We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on Passion Week. It's the yesterday was Palm Sunday, the day of the triumphal entry. We are on our way to the resurrection on Sunday morning. And so we want to thank you today for tuning in and making us part of your day. We're going to be talking again today on, you know, the blind leadership that is offered by people as opposed to the type of leadership that we want in our lives, where we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So in Matthew chapter 23 is where we're going to be today. We're going to be in verse number 27. But before we get there, I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work, give them a call. Have them come out. Listen, you need to get, you don't need to wait till the last minute. Procrastination in construction is not the way to go. I was talking to a contractor here a couple of weeks ago, and it was early of a morning, and when I talked to him, he said, I have already had 16 phone calls, 8 text messages, and 9 emails this morning. There is a lot of construction that is going on, and so you need, if you think that you are going to need something constructed in the near future, you need to give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 536-5804, 536-5804. And I don't know what their time frame is. I don't know what the schedule is from the beginning of the project to the end of the project. You know, I don't know where they are and how far out in advance they have things booked, but give them a call, 536-5804. Have them come out and take a look at your project and see if you can't get on the schedule, and they will do a great job for you. So I don't know about you, but whenever a storm comes by, I take a great deal of confidence in the fact that my house is a block house. Our church is a block church. I'm looking for things that can withstand the storm, and the folks at Jits Concrete, they make that a wise investment. They know how to do it. They know how to do it right, and I encourage you to give them a call, 536-5804. So this coming Sunday, we will be having our special Easter services, our Resurrection Sunday services at Merritt Assembly of God. Children's ministry at 10:30 is going to be dealing with escape from the tomb. It is going to be a presentation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to also have an escape room type feel to it. And so you'd like your kids to participate in that, it's going to be a safe and very educational experience. My daughter, who leads the children's ministry along with her team, are very excited about it. I'm going to be preaching a message, "This Day Could Change Everything." And you know, that's a reality. The resurrection does change everything. And I'm going to be preaching that message Sunday morning. We do not have Sunday school this week. We are going to have a special time of breakfast and fellowship. That's going to start at 9:30. And if you'd like to come and be a part of that, 9:30 till about 10:15, something like that. And then we're going to be moving into praise and worship at 10:30. And we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. What I tell our churches, I don't want to tell people, you just need to come to church because you need to come to church. You need to come to church because transformation happens there. We want people to encounter the Spirit of the living God. And so Sunday morning, we would love to have you be a part of what God is doing. I want to take you to Matthew 23 today, Matthew chapter 23. Like I told you on Friday, that message I would have titled "You're Full of It" part one. This one today is "You're Full of It" part two. That has to do with what the Pharisees are told by Jesus that they are full of. In Matthew chapter 23, verse number 27, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." This will go back to the message that we talked about on Friday, in that people really miss everything with the way that they focus on things. They want to focus on the outside and not on the reality of what it was like on the inside. My wife and I, several years ago, we went on a cruise. I think our church had blessed us to be able to go on a cruise for our 20th anniversary as pastors of the church. And we finally got to go on that cruise after we'd been there for 23 years. We had a lot of things that were going on. And I told them, I was like, "Thank you so much, but it's going to be a while before we get to use this." And in one of the ports of call that particular cruise ship happened to dock in, we were taking a tour of the city, and they said, "Now what you are going to find as you are driving throughout the city is that people do not pay attention to the outside of their house. They don't really care what the outside of the house looks like. On the outside, it may look like a shack. It might look run down. It might look like it's falling over, but they focus on what's going on the inside. So they will make the inside of the house beautiful, and they won't really care what the outside." And they said the reason for that is because in this particular country, you are taxed on what the outside of your house looks like, not what the inside of your house looks like. And so the people have said, "You know what? It's less expensive for me to focus on the inside and to neglect the outside." Now, I want you to know something, that might make economic sense to them, but it's got flaws in it as well. If you've got a hole in your roof, it doesn't matter what is going on the inside. You could have a mansion on the inside, but if you have a hole in the roof on the outside, if you've got holes in the wall that rodents and other critters can get into, the inside of the house is not going to stay looking nice for very long either. It is not whether or not you're going to focus on the inside or the outside. You need to be focusing on both. And many times in the church, we focus on internal issues and we neglect the outside issues. The world tends to focus on superficial issues and neglect the matters of the heart. And God really wants to deal with both of those things. Okay? So here, again, you know, whenever Jesus is talking about these blind guides, he describes their situation as lamentable, as a situation of sorrow, not a condition of joy. And he says that they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, in this particular passage, in verse number 28, he says the reason that they are hypocrites in their behavior is because they are full of hypocrisy in their heart. It is impossible to suppress what is going on in your heart forever. It is going to manifest. The reason that he calls them hypocrites 8 different times in Matthew chapter 23 is because of what the reality of the condition of their hearts were. They were full of hypocrisy. They were full of it. Hypocrisy is a person who appears to be one thing, and yet in reality, they're something else. And the reason that they behaved that way in their actions towards others and their attitudes towards others was because the hypocrisy was in their heart. They thought that they were in one condition with God, but the reality was that they were in a different condition with God, and they were lying to themselves. It's never good to be filled with something that isn't genuine, something that isn't authentic. So here he says, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." So, you've got to, when Jesus makes this assessment known to them, you got to realize the recoil that they would have experienced, because these people didn't want to touch a dead body. These people didn't want to touch someone that was hurting. And so he says, what you are in reality is you are like a whitewashed tomb. You are very beautiful and ornate on the outside, but what is going on the inside is not a manifestation of life. It is simply an act of decay. Recently, we had our annual business meeting at Merit Assembly of God, and we rejoice, we celebrate what God has done. But there is also much to do. It is not the time. I don't think I mentioned this at that particular time, but I think of Jacob, who, when he was carried off to Egypt and he pronounced his blessing on his kids, and then it said he drew his feet up into his bed and he died. This is not the time to be saying, well, you know what, I've blessed a few folks and it's just time for me to withdraw my feet. Listen, the job has never been bigger. The stakes have never been higher. The number of people on the threshold of eternity is still astronomically high. We don't need fewer participants in the Great Commission. We need more participants. We need all involved in the Great Commission. If only part of the church is doing what is necessary, we are not going to see the salvations that God wants us to see. We're not going to see the revival. Listen, society cannot afford for the church to be dead. We serve a risen Savior. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. And so we've got to allow the resurrection to not just be a historical fact, but it needs to be something that is a dynamic that we've experienced in our life. When I was preparing for this particular passage, I was thinking of Ezekiel chapter 37. You see, this was not the first time that the scripture had talked about people of being dead dead men's bones or dried up bones. But Ezekiel 37 makes it clear that God can send a word and dry bones can come together the way that they were designed to come together. And those bones can soon begin to have sinew, and they can have muscle, and they can have flesh and blood vessels. And then the Spirit of the living God can breathe into them again, and they can raise up a mighty, powerful army. Today, I want to encourage you, let's not go through this Passion Week just going through the motions, just looking for whatever you may be fasting to be over with. Let's go through it and say, God, I don't just want to have a nice outward appearance, but my marriage is dead on the inside, and my finances are dead. My praise and worship is dead. Let's allow a resurrection to take place inside of us. I mean, can you imagine the dynamic that took place at the tomb when all of a sudden it was time for Jesus to come forth, and that stone, which they were bewildered as how they were going to move, when they got there, they found it had already been rolled away, that the guards that were guarding the tomb, that they were laying there because they had been overwhelmed with the glory of God. Wouldn't it be awesome today if some people said, God, I want you to reignite that first love that I had for you, reignite the passion that we had in our marriage, God, reignite the fire of faith in children and grandchildren, God. I pray that you would disarm the powers of the enemy and disarm the weapons of the enemy, and let there be resurrection power that comes forth. He says, you look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Do you know why the command was given for Jesus and the other people who were being crucified for their legs to be broken? Now, they didn't break Jesus' legs because he was already dead, but do you know why? Is because the Pharisees said, look, you know, we've got a high and holy day that's coming. We can't afford to have this uncleanness going on. So it didn't matter that they were instrumental in bringing this. They said, we need them to hurry up and die because we don't want to be spiritually unclean so that we miss out on this spiritual festival that we've got coming up. We can't afford that type of uncleanness. And Jesus said, you are full of all uncleanness. Full of all uncleanness. It's not what is taking place on the outside that makes you unclean. It's what's going on the inside. The things that happen on the outside are simply manifestations of what's going on the inside. So we need to ask God to come and cleanse our heart. He said, even so, you also appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Something that appears on the outside to be one thing that it's not on the inside, in construction terms, has a couple of different terms. It's either called a facade or it's called a veneer. It makes you think that it's one thing, but in actuality, it's something else. On the outside, it looks like it is solid wood, but on the inside, it's really particle board, and it just has this very thin veneer on it. I used to work in an industry that dealt with veneers a lot, and it's a very, very thin layer, but don't dig too deep. Don't dig too deep. If you dig too deep, you find out that what's on the outside is really not what the core, what's really the substance that you think it is. I wonder if that's why so many people are very guarded when it comes to dealing with other people, is because they don't want people to get too close, because if you get too close, you might find out that my life's not as perfect as it looks like on the outside. You see, Joyce, I talked about Joyce Meyer in a program last week. I'll share another one of her stories. And that is that when her kids were little and they were driving to church, they would be fussing and fighting and feuding all the way to church. This person was late. This person wasn't dressed. And everybody's mad at one another. And they pull into the church parking lot. And before they get out, everybody puts on their smiles on and they're walking into church. And everything is just, oh, I just wish that everything in my life was as perfect as was in your life. And then when it was time to go, they'd smile all the way to the car and they'd get in and they'd take their dysfunction on the way back home with them. Look, we need some authenticity. We need some reality. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know a perfect person. I know that I'm not perfect. And that doesn't mean that I want to expose all of my warts and all of my flaws to everybody. But what I do want to do is expose them to the transforming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's where we get afraid. We're afraid that if people know the real us, that they're not going to want to be around us anymore. God already knows the reality of it, and he loves us anyway. Here's the great promise. If we will allow God to deal with our decaying inadequacies right now, he will transform them. He will take them from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal. He will take them from ugly to glorious. And so we can't afford to play spiritual games with God. We need to allow him to bring transformation into our lives. We don't want to have an outward appearance that is not an adequate. That's called hypocrisy. And Jesus said, you're full of hypocrisy. The other thing that he says that they were full of, and this is what we're going to end on today, is that they were full of lawlessness. Full of lawlessness. Now, if you know anything at all about the Pharisees, it's that they were extremely legalistic. They thought that they were fulfilling the minutiae of the law. They wanted to boast about how they were following the dictates of God to the umpteenth degree. And in reality, Jesus comes along and he says, you are operating in lawlessness. If you study that word, and by the way, I will just say this. I have never heard the word lawless used in society as much as I have over the past 10 years. We are living in a lawless atmosphere where people, if there are laws, they don't want them enforced. If there's chaos, they don't want to pass laws that are going to do it, that are going to address that situation. And if there are people who are operating in lawlessness, they think that if they just pass more laws, that everything is going to all be fine, well, and good. That's not what's going to happen. Let me tell you that the foundation of lawlessness is the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Jesus did not come to do what was right in his own eyes. He came to do what was right in the Father's eyes. Israel, it was said that every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's anarchy. That's lawlessness. And nobody is going to really thrive in that atmosphere. You know, there was a time in, as America was expanding out to the West, that they would come to places called Badlands, and they would have people called outlaws, the people who were operating beyond the scope of laws. And then it would take somebody to come along and say, you know what, that's not going to be acceptable anymore. It's not going to be tolerated. And I will tell you that the devil wants to promote lawlessness, because no society can survive when it is operating from a premise of anarchy. So here the Pharisees are thinking, man, nobody is doing this better than we are. And Jesus comes along and he says, you are full of lawlessness. You see, in the Psalms, it identifies that God is the king, God is the judge, and God is the lawgiver. He is the savior. He's the healer. Let's make sure that we're doing life the way that God wants us to do it. And you know what that means? Sometimes my flesh is going to bristle at the thought of obeying what God wants me to do. But it's still not up for debate. I can tell you, I've had a lot of bosses in my life. I've had bosses that wanted me to do things that I didn't want to do. And you know what I did? I did them. Let me just tell you a story. Before I came to Merit Assembly of God, I was serving on staff, and my kids make fun of my singing ability. And one day I went to church, and the pastor said, next Sunday you're leading worship. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. And we went around and around, eventually I said, fine, I'll lead worship next week, but somebody is helping me to pick the songs, because I'm not a worship leader. And eventually I did that week after week. And you know what I discovered is that when I came to Merit Assembly of God, I needed that worship skill. Let's not bristle against the things that God wants us to do. I'm not looking for a reason not to obey God. The fact that God wants it done, and because I know the character of God, that he only wants his very best for me. He's not looking to damage me. He's not looking to embarrass me. Let's empty ourselves of the hypocrisy. Let's empty ourselves of the lawlessness. And let's say, okay, God, this church is going to obey you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Stars that light the night, but how much more we are to